the second one. That's why our series has always two main characters. It starts with Adam and Eve, right? They have two sons. It's not a woman and a man again, because we talked about man and a woman, now two men. Right. And these two men, they fight on women. Because now the women are important. Then we go on and on and on, and if you read the Masnavi, something is so obvious in this book that I don't insist upon it even. See that I have a categorization, a systematic view on this that I insist upon. I go back and say, these are the main stories. I claim that. Nobody had ever done that. I take the responsibility I do that. But there are some things that Rumi did himself, remember? He did put it in paragraphs. And the funny thing is, paragraphs are not equal. One is 130 verses, one is three. Even three. Okay? And the title of that three is so big, it takes time to read. Then he divided it into books. And he emphasizes on some stories. What is his favorite story? What is he talking about more than any other story before him? Because he chooses the stories from wherever. And Persian language was the best. Because everything was translated to Persian then. Right? He found it here and there and talked about it. What is his favorite story? Do you remember?
The parrot?
Moses
and Pharaoh. He doesn't talk about Muhammad that much. He's a Muslim. He talks about Moses, Pharaoh. Because even now, some Iranians will understand when you say Mutafarqin. It means Arabic. When you say you look like Pharaoh, means you're arrogant. Because arrogance is in us, but it's half of us. There is another half. This half of us is the one we know. We understand. We have accepted, and we are being enslaved with. And we are being brainwashed by our brain to believe that we are our brain, right? So, we need a wake-up call. The message is the call, wake-up call, okay? So everything, the duality is always around there, because how does it happen then? Let's go back to love, which was an example, but a good one. How would it happen? Huh? It could happen when you clean up your house, clean up your attitude, and pray, and become the best, and you get lucky, and you get there. Okay? Did you understand that process? Or do you want me to change it in a different way? Doesn't matter, a process, right? And did you understand that? Because it's logical, right? That you start a process, you clean up your mess, and you improve, and you get lucky, and you become the best. And in your heart, it could happen that somebody is not doing anything and doing all the wrong stuff, suddenly it happens. Just because we don't know because we don't know everything. In that philosophy and logical stuff, we know everything. Whatever we don't know doesn't exist. Here, we started with we don't know, because we know we don't know. How do we know that? How do you know you don't know it? There is a void inside, you feel it. There is a space. And when you feel that void, and everybody does will feel that void? No. A lot of people, they don't have any void because they have stuck some stuff over there. Stuff they don't need and they put aside for maybes. Yeah. Inherit the stuff, you put it there. So you don't even know that there is a void. So that's why it's process, and it could happen otherwise, because it doesn't obey the law of logic and our understanding. When we talk about something which we are only one single little part of it, it's a different story, isn't it? Let me put it this way for you, a logical, reasonable fellow. I mean, deluded. This fellow is bringing in a simple question. He says, isn't that is a process? Okay. Changes in society are a process, right? That you should be an activist, work in it, and clean up the mess you're in, personally become a good person, then try to convince other people, go ahead, and it will happen, right? Not necessary. Because there are times that everybody is trying this, but there are other factors, universal, not local, that will change everything. Suddenly, someone else will die, and I will become the bully of the neighborhood. I didn't necessarily decide to be the bully. I was fighting that guy. Now I'm a bully. The process of becoming bully, yes, but some other factors as well. We are looking for those other factors because we believe we know enough of this stuff. And the other one we know, zilch. Why? We don't have time. Remember the guy who had no time? I told you this story. The story is like this. They say, one day there was this Bohlul came in the market in Bazaar. You know who Bohlul is? Bohlul is the good sophisticated version of Mullah Nasruddin. Mullah Nasruddin is vulgar and silly. Bohlul is a peer. Master, but he looks like good. So he walks in the market, a stick in his hand, and the skin of a watermelon on top of that. The skin of the watermelon story is like this. For the first time that I saw they sell a piece of watermelon, I was so surprised. And suddenly I thought, oh, and I thought, these French people, they are rich. Look at them, they buy a piece of watermelon. Because over there, in third world countries, you don't buy one watermelon. You normally buy a dozen. Because you just put it somewhere, and this is a fruit that will remain there. It doesn't need any refrigeration, anything, for days, and you will have pieces of it. Very often. Normally, you cut it in half. What's the best way to eat watermelon? I know you don't know, because you're not an idea.
Drill a hole in the top, pour in a bottle of vodka, and drink it.
This is the American style, thinking about the others as being Russians. Maybe Russians will do that. If you cut the watermelon, the best way to do it is the simplest, when you have nothing. So you drop the watermelon. It will break to two, if you know how to drop it. And the center of it, which is condensed, somehow will become disconnected. You grab it, you eat it, then you make your hand a big spoon and clench it. So you have it all, and at the end you have a bowl. This bowl serves for drinking the water, blah, 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 blah. And now this bowlul is having it on the top of the stick, trying to turn it around, keep it there like this. People who turn the plate and things like that. He is trying to do that. And meanwhile, his belt is open and his trousers are falling down. The people will come around and somebody will say, "Bolu, take care about your pants." I said, "How could I find time?" Time. This is the story that Rumi will tell you about that. Look carefully what are you busy with. Because there are times that you're busy with silly stuff and you don't care about your misbehaving, shortcoming, or whatever you may call it. Time. That logic doesn't let you try, does it? No. The basic of that logic is, do you remember? There was one thing that right from the beginning was a piece of logic, intelligence, and still there. More is better. Okay, up to 19th century that was understandable. 20th century we know about the fourth dimension, time. What about time? Interpreted to time means hurry up, because more is better means faster you go, more you cover, right? So we are in rush, aren't we? Look around you. Humanity is in rush. For what?
To die.
We don't have time to enjoy the comfort we have. We forget the comfort we have. The first comfort we have is security. It feels safe, isn't it? Oh, there are times that when the society is demanding, you wish that you were alone. You know, if you're alone, the hyenas are out there. And they will be walking in your backyard. That's safety. Do we enjoy it enough? Do we even notice it? Here in Vancouver, because it's one of the really exceptional, safest places you could walk. We're talking about. You could walk after the midnight, wherever. This peace of mind, this is something that Pharaoh didn't have. He needed 100 soldiers if he wanted to go out. That's that logical part. This illogical part brings in all these questions, because the logical part will say, "I'm right."